And since we may be separately making a record, I'll announce my appearance again. I'm Joe Pickard, again, P-I-C-K-A-R-D. Attorney registration 12476 for Deborah Pickens, who's present today. With respect to this matter, I've read the briefs. I know the court has. And I was trying to figure out what we were arguing about. And it's funny, sometimes after you look at briefs, looking backwards, and as I've gotten older, I spend more time reading the other side's brief than my own, since I'm more likely to learn something there that I didn't already know before I wrote my part. It seems to me the position of the state is that this is a regulatory matter, not a matter of law. And since the regulation says that if you are convicted of child abuse, you're on the what used to be registry, now trails, and that's it. I think that's their position. My position is, our position is, that when the regulation says conviction, it means a final conviction. And therefore, the law is important, and things should not be treated as final before they're final. And I suppose I could ask this court today to take judicial notice of the fact that the other case is still pending, since I've just argued it and submitted it. And that was the position we took. There was also a, it's not in the record, but there's a licensing matter that's pending also. There are regulatory rules that basically say if criminal proceedings are pending, then the absence in very strange circumstances, again, not applicable here, these matters shall be stayed. And that's not what happened in this case. Summary judgment was issued based upon a conviction that's on appeal. And we believe the case we cited, I think I cited one case, I might have cited two, holds that exactly. And I think the only real defense or position contrary is that it doesn't make any difference whether the conviction is ultimately overturned or whether it's final. The fact is a conviction entered, and therefore, based on that regulation, the person's name ought to be on trails.
So I have one quick question about your argument then. It seems to me that the regulation that the department relied on or citing in their brief doesn't say convicted, but rather says the appellant has been found guilty. Now, so doesn't that contemplate the possibility that it's based entirely just on the jury verdict?
Yes.
And there might be some mechanism for undermining this retroactively if indeed the conviction is later set aside.
Yes. And it just, why should we be doing that, would be my question in terms of judicial economy and efficiency. But let's think about trails also. This court may or may not know, the way that functions is that once a report is sent up from the county, your name's on trails. This hearing, this proceeding, is about removing your name from trails. And so her name is on trails either way, whether we do it now or whether we hold it, as we had requested, in abeyance until the criminal proceedings concluded. There's absolutely no harm, no prejudice to the state at all.
Same.
So that's our argument.
Speaker, can you tell me what trails mean?
Oh, yes, this is
I
good.
Didn't see that anywhere in
the case. I actually used to teach. Now you touched on a couple of areas of counsel today. I used to teach COEs on this. Wade Livingston, who was the first attorney general for a long time, and I both presented this. He and I did the first predecessor hearings 30 years ago when I was a county attorney in Jefferson County on the central registry, which after we kept names for about 10 years in Colorado and then decided maybe people had a property interest in not having their name on that list. And so there were no hearings for a long time. Then the central registry, later trails. TRAILS is an acronym standing for nothing. It doesn't stand for anything. It's the name. It's similar to another software program designed to keep decentralized information throughout Colorado in the various departments of social services, named somewhat after some other software programs that were called Pathways or something. And so for the West, it was called TRAILS, all caps. And nobody knows what it stands for, including Wade Livingston, who told me that because I asked him 10 times. He did some research, and that's the best I can report. But how it works is, and this is what's interesting about it, in the old days, and this has to do with technology, there was a computer that was downtown. It was really one computer, and it was the central registry. And records were sent to it, and there was a custodian of that record in that place. Well, with decentralized computers, workstations, this information is impossible to contain all this information in one place. It's throughout the state. And so if in Montrose, someone wants to look up information, they can see what's on the database for Arapahoe County Social Services if they want to. And so since it's kept in all these different places, Trails is a broad name talking about this information being kept everywhere. In truth, even at the end of Trails cases, if there's what we used to call an expungement, in the old days you could take it off the record. You can't really now. What you do is limit the access to the record, but the record still exists. There's really no expungement.
That was, I think, a question that Judge Russell alluded to. If Ms. Pickard's conviction in the other case that we just discussed, in the criminal case, were to be reversed, is there a method by which you, as her attorney, can try to remove her listing from the Trails?
I'm only thinking, since it's final, and it'd be passed many times for regular appeals of right, I'm guessing it would have to be some kind of a, you know, maybe Rule 60 attack or something unusual in the discretion of the court. But that's my suggestion, is that there's no need to do that. There's no prejudice to the state in between. We don't need to make that determination now. And in the meantime, they get the exact relief they want. Her name is on the list.
That leads me to ask you this, Mr. Pickard, if I may, please. If her name's already on the list and what you're doing makes no difference, what's the prejudice to your client?
If, for example, if she wanted a job, and she's getting to the point in her life where she may not, and if she ever wanted to do daycare again, she can't be on that list if she's going to be a job around children. And so that's the prejudice. That's the reason for these hearings is...
I understand that. But if her name is on the list anyway...
Well, it's temporary now. It's
right.
Not final.
Right. But it's on the list.
Right.
So if she were to go now, or even if she were to go now, it's there, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, we just want it off in the future.
Okay.
The difference would be that one way you would not be required to file some collateral attack or some subsequent attack, and the other way you would.
Right. Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Alicia Calderon, registration 32296, on behalf of the Department of Human Services. I believe some of the main questions have been asked and answered. In this case, the department did file a motion for summary judgment. That is how we come to be here today. In that motion for summary judgment, there were two bases for that motion. One was collateral estoppel or issue preclusion, and one was the department regulation. The department regulation does use the language saying if a person is found guilty of child abuse, then it shall be conclusive evidence and it shall be an admission. That is the basis that all of the lower courts made their decisions. Contrary to appellant's brief, where he argues that the lower courts relied on issue preclusion, none of the judges below relied on issue preclusion, and they were very clear that they were not relying on issue preclusion.
Sort of a regulation-specific type of issue preclusion.
Correct. The administrative law judge specifically states, because of the conclusive effect of Section 7.202605G2, which is the department's rule, the administrative law judge will not consider the State Department's argument that it is entitled to summary judgment by application of the doctrine of collateral estoppel. So they refuse to apply that doctrine. They apply the plain language of the regulation as written. The other important thing to note is in that same regulation, another method of obtaining that this same conclusive evidence can be a deferred judgment. With a deferred judgment, an individual can successfully complete their deferred judgment, their sentence can be vacated, and they would still be confirmed.
Well, what if, let's go back to the question that Judge Hawthorne asked. Assume for the purposes of argument that we reverse the criminal conviction. Well, what remedy does Ms. Pickens have? She's got to have a remedy, doesn't she? Because if it was based on a finding of guilt and then that finding of guilt is reversed, what's the remedy?
The only remedy currently would be a collateral attack in a district court. There is no remedy in the regulation itself. However, this is also standard in regulatory law. It is true, not just in this case where it's a listing in a database system. In other statutes, there is language very similar or identical to this one, where deferred judgments, even deferred prosecutions, can be the basis of action taken.
Well, I understand in both those things, there is some, particularly in a deferred judgment, there's an admission of responsibility that is restricted in time. A person says, yeah, I did it. But here, where Ms. Pickens has maintained her innocence, she went to trial. If in that context, and it's reversed, doesn't it strike you as being unfair if she is saddled with this for the rest of her life and she has no opportunity to remove it because her finding of guilt has been reversed?
She certainly could have the opportunity to remove it through other methods. Through this appeal process, she would not. And the important reason for this is the purpose of this listing is to protect children. Beyond a reasonable doubt is the standard for the criminal case. It could be reversed for various reasons. However, she has been found guilty by a jury. At this point in time, she is guilty. It may change in the future. But the purpose of this database is to protect children. It is a confidential database. It is not accessible by the public. It is only used when someone wants to work with children. So if they want to work in childcare in a licensed childcare facility, if they want to be foster parents. Otherwise, this is not a publicly accessible database. You cannot go onto the internet.
I understand. And pardon me for interrupting, Ms. Calderon, but it strikes me again, if her conviction is reversed, at that point, she's no longer determined to have caused harm to a child. And I understand the important purpose behind the database, and I understand and agree that protecting children is a very, very important, compelling public interest. But if we have someone who hasn't harmed a child, or at least the basis for putting her on this list goes away, it strikes me, and doesn't it strike you as unfair, that there's no mechanism here for her to go back and say, okay, as long as I was found guilty, I get it, I was on the list, but I'm no longer found guilty, so take me off.
Your Honor, the problem with that argument is that the rule itself has not ever been attacked by appellant. That issue isn't before the court today. The rule has been in existence since 2006. The issue that's been presented to the court today is whether there's finality in issue preclusion, and that isn't the issue either. The issue is whether or not the rule was applied as written, and it was applied as written. And the rule itself is not under attack.
Also, you are, do I hear, is it fair to say that you will concede that there may be some remedy at law, some collateral attack? And by the way, could you guide us on that? Are you aware, what is the motion that is filed in such circumstances?
I have not researched what the attack would be. In the time that this rule has been in existence, there has not been any attack.
Fair enough. That's but the availability of that avenue of attack would sort of be relevant to our interpretation of the phrase, you know, verdict or that kind of thing, because if indeed any further attack is foreclosed, if indeed somebody who has through the appellate process determined that she's not guilty of an offense, we would be frustrated if we thought that there was that the effect would be conclusive and there'd be no way to undo that. So
and frankly, the different burdens of proof are part of why the being found guilty and the fact that it could be overturned are such different issues here. In the criminal case, if this is overturned, from listening to the argument, it appears that the issue is the expert testimony. The issue is not whether or not she's innocent. The issue is not whether or not it didn't happen. As counsel for the people stated, the facts of what happened are not being disputed.
It doesn't, I mean, I think your argument presupposes that there would be a possibility of then an additional evidentiary hearing at this regulatory proceeding to determine those facts independently. If the determination of guilt is the conclusive fact from which all the consequences flow, the undermining or the invalidating of that determination should then be, suspended, I would think.
And if that were so in a deferred judgment where they successfully completed, they could also return and change that conclusive evidence in the confirmation, and there is no remedy in that case either. It is how the rule is applied in this case, but it is also how it is applied in the regulatory world across the board. It is consistent. And I don't know that I have much more to add. I think that the record and the decisions by the administrative law judge and the district court judge are very clear. They apply the rule as it is written, and that is how it should happen. And there isn't any further interpretation of the rule that has been requested by the appellant or challenged by the appellant. And the district court properly refused to add additional language into the rule. The judge refused to say that found guilty means found guilty after all appeals have been exhausted. The purpose of this database, this private database listing, is to keep people from working with children, and the outcome in this case is correct. Ms. Pickens should not work with children. I would ask that it be upheld. Thank you.
Thank you. Court thanks both counsel for their arguments. This case, too, will be deemed submitted, and a written opinion will issue in due course.